Welcome to episode number 305 of the Family Podcast Network. Today we're going to talk about the top 11 lessons of the last 2 months. That's right, I'm telling you guys, in 2 months, from moving into this larger house to adopting a new kiddo and potentially here adopting another, I have probably learned more in 2 months than I might have done in an entire year. Stay tuned for that and more.
Welcome to the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. Coming to you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network, here's your host, Trey Gibson.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. It doesn't matter if you're expecting, if you're a brand new mom and dad, or even if you're a longtime seasoned parent. There is always something we can do to take our parenting to the next level. The date today is May the 26th, 2014. It is Memorial Day Monday. That's right. No vacation for me today. Unfortunately, I've taken way too many shows off this last month getting prepped and ready with this move and adoption. And so I could not leave you guys out and stranded without a Memorial Day one. Now, I know many of you guys do not listen the day it comes out. Still, we're going to crank out material because we are back in the saddle. I even got some of my office cleaned up today. So I am actually recording in the cleanest office that I have sat in because this was one of my last projects to start working on, and we're finally around to it, so it is good. Topic for today is going to be our top 11 lessons of the last 2 months. That's right, like we talked about in the intro segment. This has been some of the most educational experience for me, and it's been some of the most practical application of what we discuss here at the Family Podcast Network that, you know, you can argue when you have kids that any of the experience, Trey, that you have is because you've had them from the very start. Does this stuff really work if you have to do it in the quick and dirty way? As in, e.g., throwing in a totally different kid into this system automatically and immediately and seeing how well it works. Very much so what it's like whenever you have foster kids. We're going to talk a little bit about the lessons that I've learned over the last 2 months, getting ready for the move, and then moving into having this kiddo here, and what has it meant, how well has it worked. It's going to be a good show today. Before we get into that, let's get some quick housekeeping, guys. If you want to get notified of all the new episodes that we come out here at the Family Podcast, simple and easy way to do that. Jump over to thefamilypodcast.com, right-hand side, enter your name and your email address. It's one of people's favorite ways to stay notified of what new shows are coming out. We have almost nobody ever back at it doing that. Enter your name and your email address. I do not solicit that. It just goes into a very special list for you guys. And anytime I put out a new show, not only do you get an email that morning saying, hey, here's what we talked about, we're live, go check out the show, but it'll also give you a little synopsis about what it's over. So log on to that, make sure you do that, make sure you don't miss out on that, any of those shows that if you just could have heard, it could have changed everything. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, share us all our episodes and stuff like that, Twitter, Pinterest, all that other good jazz. We have accounts in those places, share those out. Remember, the way this show expands is when you share the things that you learn here with your spouses. Share them with your friends on Facebook, etc. Throw those things out there. Draw people in and bring them and send them to the show. There's people out there that think like us. Tons of people out there that think like us. And sometimes if you just throw these things out there, it helps you connect with those. And you're like, wow, you really think this way. I'm telling you, you'll be amazed when you throw these things up here how many people will like it. And you'll all of a sudden realize you got tons of people that think the way that you do. So make sure you share these things out and get them connected. Don't forget, if you want to support the show, 30 cents per episode. If you're like, man, I want to help see this show go further and be bigger and go further, consider becoming a PTACer. That's Parents for the Ethical Treatment of Adolescents and Kids. That's our little funny twist there. If you want to become a member, you can actually click on the Become a Member, who would have figured, button. Or you can also click on the PTACer button. You can do it at three dimes. That's right, three dimes per episode. If you feel like you get 30 cents at every one of these shows that you hear, consider becoming a PTACer, help us go far. Whenever you do that, you do get access to exclusive stuff available only to members. Last, if you have any questions, comments, thoughts, concerns, topics, or encouragement that you want to throw out to us, we love that. Lots of ways you can do that. Email us at TreyGibson@TheFamilyPodcastNetwork.com. You can also go to TheFamilyPodcast.com over on the right-hand side, a little green yellowish button. It says, ask Trey and Jeff a question. If you have a question for the Family Podcast Network or the Real Family Guys podcast show on Friday, you can ask us right over your phone through your computer as long as you have a microphone. Yes, you can even use your iPad. It'll ask you if you want to download an app. SpeakPipe is a wonderful app, and it is fantastic. I highly recommend it, and you can actually record shows. We've had a couple of you folks that didn't want to the questions aired on the show, but you guys have called into that. Feel free to do that. I love that. I love answering you guys over that way better than I like doing emails because emails just take time, and I hate typing. I really do, and I'll do it because, you know, several of you guys are emailers, and I'll do that. I'll email you guys back because y'all are important to me, but those of you guys that are sending the SpeakPipe messages, send them all you want because I love answering over voice. All right, last guys, you have a cell phone. Maybe you're out driving, taking your kids to school, to class, to wherever else. You can give me a call, 661-PARENT-0. That number is 661-PARENT and the number 0. Whenever you call me, you will not hear some guy on the line that says, hey, you're on the line with Trey. You're going to get a voice message recording system. You can leave your message directly into that. Ask your question as though we were sitting there talking. Make sure you ask your question first, then give your details later in the call. We'll see if we can get your question on the show. All right, guys, I'm sorry that went so long. So with all of that out of the way, let's get into our topic for today. I did not mean for that to rhyme so well. So we're going to talk today about the top 10 lessons and maybe a bonus. If I have time for number 12, I'm going to give you guys a bonus one. So top 11 lessons of the last 2 months. So again, for those of you guys maybe who are brand new listeners or just catching the show for the very first time, we have been in the process. I have a family of four already, ranging from the ages of one-year-old all the way up to seven-year-old. And we recently have felt the desire, and we'll talk a little bit more about this in one of the lessons that we learned here in just a bit, but my wife and I really felt a drawing to adopt a kiddo, and it was a very specific kiddo. A situation that was in with their family put us in a unique position to be able to adopt this family. And so we wound up doing so. And anyway, we've had some pretty major changes over the last few months. When we first looked into adopting this little baby girl, they said that our living room was too small in the last house where that we were at. So we really felt convicted. We really felt a level of desire that was passed just to, oh, that'd be cool. We really felt like it was something we were supposed to do. So we wound up buying a house that's considerably larger. And so we had a move, and then we got this kiddo placed just not too long ago. We have been getting ourselves to up to date on minimum standards for the state of Texas for foster to adopt. And so we have had to have our house pristine and perfect and squared away and fire inspections and home studies and a myriad of all sorts of other things going on that we have gotten wrapped up over the last couple of months. And so it has been the busiest 2 months of my entire life. And I say that not in a disparaging or tired or grumpy way. I say it in I have never felt more alive type of way. Now, I'm not trying to be facetious. I'm not trying to be cliche. I mean, literally, I have never felt better than I feel right now. I feel more alive. I feel more active. I feel more cognizant and aware of what's going on than I've ever felt in my life. But let me tell you, we have had to stretch the old parenting skills further than they've ever had to go. And here is the neatest thing, because everything that we practice at home is what we talk about here on the Family Podcast Network. Our parenting skills have been stretched further than they've ever stretched before. But let me tell you, they have been completely and utterly elastic to take the stretch the way that we needed it to with this new situation. I have been blown away at how well this works. Like we talked about earlier in the intro segment, that a lot of people could accuse and say, well, Trey, this great stuff that you talk about here at the Family Podcast Network, it seems good and you apply it to your kids and it works. But great, but does it work for other people? Does it work for other kids? I mean, your kids get to have you every single day from the minute they come out all the way until whether they're 7 years old or 1 year old, from my oldest to my youngest. Now, that's an unfair advantage. What if you were to take a kid and throw them in randomly? What if you were to take, when I used to teach this in terms of parenting classes one-on-one, I used to say, well, that's great for you to say, Trey, but if you were to take my kid, it would never work. And, you know, that's a hard response to come back to. If you're really a person who believes in systematic and empirical evidence, you have to look at that statement and say that that is absolutely a possibility. I can't reject the null hypothesis on that. Because it's always possible that if I took your kid, this stuff wouldn't work with him. However, deep down in my nuggets, Deep down, I knew. No, I guess I should say deep down, I felt that this stuff would absolutely work on whatever kid that you mix in with this. And so the last 2 months, we've gotten to add some very unique things in. Now, not everything today is going to be about what I've learned from foster. I very specifically was going to, I was going to title this something like What Fostering Has Taught Me, but I wanted to flip that around because not all my lessons came from that. Many of them were stitched in deeply with that, but not all of the lessons that I've really learned over the last few weeks have been into that. So with no further ado, let's jump into our lessons that we've learned. Number one, I have had the most starkest reminder that the name Daddy, and I'm not talking about the name that you give yourself whenever you have a child pop out of the vaginal canal of a woman. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is the title that gets bestowed upon you from a child because they want to. The title Daddy, not because I'm told that's what your name is. I'm talking about when you hear it in that little tiny voice that they are calling you their daddy. I've had a reminder over the last 2 months that that phrase daddy has nothing to do with blood relation. We have this little kiddo living in our house now. And it didn't take long before this little kiddo was calling us mommy and daddy. And she's not calling us that because it's a name. You can hear it in her voice. This is my mommy and daddy. And there's something so fascinating and something so wonderful and something so touchingly beautiful about a kiddo that did not come out of your loins, forgive the crudity here, but a kiddo that did not come out of your loins begin to acknowledge and even call you a mommy or a daddy. It's a reminder that it is a series of actions that allows you to earn these things. There is something so wonderful about getting to hear this new kiddo who lives with us come up and introduce me as their daddy. You know, that's the heart of the hearts that I have with this. My biggest desire with the Family Podcast Network is in my own life is to establish how can I create daddies in myself for my kids. That person that these kids can trust and rely on and come to. That person they can come to for guidance and discipline and comfort. How do I create that in myself? That's the entire purpose of that, is to help take this mentality, what I am learning, and spread the information, my wonderful successes and my horrible, atrocious failures out with everybody who's out there, to help everybody experience how they can be the very best mommies and daddies possible. How do we take our parenting to the next level? It's not just a phrase here. We really look for that. But this kind of segues us into number two, and this is going to seem very closely related, but they're actually quite different. But number two, this whole last 2 months has been a reminder that my blood relationship that I have with my kids, the blood connection that I have with my kids, the series of chromosomes and the genetic imprint on them that I have with them does not equal a daddy. Now what, Trey? What are you trying to say here? What I'm trying to say is that we can have kids that come from a half of the gametes that we made with that other person to come together to make this unique individual. They may share half of our genetic code, but the reality is we can walk through an entire life of kids that are half our genetic alleles and not be a mommy and a daddy to them. And I know this seems somewhat no duh, but I think there's a power there. Our goal as parents should absolutely be to earn the right to call ourselves mommy and daddy. Outside of that, if we don't earn that respect, and I'm not talking about that we buy it or that we bribe it. I'm not saying that we give our kids everything that we want. I'm not saying that we allow them to do whatever they need. I'm not saying that we add the most strictest of punishments onto them until they give it to us through force. What I'm saying is that we set good, appropriate, healthy boundaries with our kids, and we love the holy smoke crud out of them on the other end. That we guide them and that we teach them, that we discipline them in the sense that word discipline interprets as to teach. And we help them grow up to be the successful people that they are capable of being. when we do these things is when we earn the title mommy and daddy over the fact of just being a mother or a father. Don't get me wrong. I know that in some families you can substitute mommy for mother and daddy for father, and it is synonymous. I do get that. There's thousands of words out there that go across contextually in this, and I understand that. I'm not trying to split a hair on that. But what I am trying to say is, if you want to have that title genuinely earned, you have to genuinely earn it. And that's been a reminder this last week. Outside of the fact that I now get to see this little kiddo refer to me as her daddy, it has also been a reminder that, especially during the busyness of the move and everything that else is going on, there's a lot more that goes on than just being blood related, than genetic connection. Number three, some of these seem no duh, but it's amazing when you get caught up in life how you so easily can forget these or put them on the wayside. Number three, kids do better when I am playing with them. I found this week that if I was having problems with the kids, if I just took them and played with them, they would often clean up most of the behavioral stuff we were having. I found that if my kids were beginning to have trouble, if I sat down and played with them, they would do better. And I found that when they were doing worse, the best panacea, the best medicine for them was to play longer. And the longer that I played with them, the better they acted afterwards. It was so very fascinating. Just today, this is Sunday. Just today, we took the time to really slow down today. And I started to go crank up some projects. And my son came out and he's like, Dad, can we play? And really, for the last 2 months, I've been much more sporadically playing with him. And so I was like, you know what? Yeah. And I set down my projects. I wanted to have this office completely ready to go by the time I recorded today. It's not done. Why is it not done? It's because my little son came out there and said, Dad, let's play. And we sat down and we played longer than I've played with those kids in a very long time. And I'm talking even before this last 2 months of all this crazy, chaotic busyness. We sat down and played hardcore. The other thing that's interesting, it's always been, three kids that are old enough to participate in the play that we do, because Charlotte is one and she's just too tiny for all this. Well, now we've got four kids, and it's amazing how that extends everything, because what we do is we divvy out how much time. So we'll sit down and we say, okay, who's going to pick first? And I require the kids to work together to figure out who's going to pick the first game, and then they pick a game. So it might be hide and seek. It might be let's go swinging. My son Grant's games are often very elaborate and that involve like Halo scenarios and stuff like that. My daughter Anna's are typically very complex and involve like we're deer and we're running away from a hunter, or you know, we're wolves and we're chasing a deer. It's always something like that. Or a cowboy wrangling an ostrich. We've had that many years ago before as well. And so all these different places. So we take turns as each one we go to. And one of the things I've noticed is that we've got a fourth kiddo that is old enough to pick their game now. And that extends our time out. But what I noticed is that it was incredibly effective. And I noticed that whenever our kids got back inside from playing, they complained less, they whined less. They were more thoughtful, they were more helpful, they were more kind to each other. They weren't trying to vie for daddy's attention all at the same time. They were willing to give each other time to talk to daddy. It was so very fascinating. And I'm not talking like small improvement. I'm talking like a 60 to 65% change in behavior. Because they were acting fine before. Just little things that were flaring up, right? Which sometimes to me is more frustrating than just absolute, you know, off-the-wall behavior. But they were, you know, just they weren't bad before, but it was amazing how much that cleared it up, those little things. And kind of on the same approach here, I also found that my kids do better when we have a routine. We're slowly beginning to find that routine here because, you know, we first got moved in. You know, we still had tons of stuff that we were doing. So mommy and daddy were constantly busy and unpacking boxes and working and up and down, left and right, and A, B, and Z, and couldn't play right now and all that other stuff. And then we kind of started getting things settled in, and then we started having this little foster kiddo come stay with us. And then she was with us and in and out, kind of, you know, for a while there, come to stay and then might leave and come to stay for a little bit. And then all of a sudden we would get used to all of that, and then they'd have to wind up leaving. And then the next thing we know, we had an emergency placement. And now they're here with us full time. And so it's just been a constant barrage of things going on. And I find that the more that we're moving into finding our routine, what's it like when we wake up? What's it like when daddy goes to work? What's it like when he gets home from work? What's it like when we get ready for bath time? What's it like etc., etc. That routine has been bringing some of the sanity back to this household. Of also, this is number three, and these are all kind of together. I find that my kids are doing better when, so all of these kind of are enmeshed. But I've also found that my kids do better when we're reading. When we're getting in the evenings and we're winding down, before we do anything else, we take our showers, take our baths, get everybody clean, get everybody prepped, get everybody in nice clean PJs. And if I sit down and read, and I read, my kids' favorite book right now is Dragon Pizzeria. They love that book, and they've had me rereading it. But the kids do so well when we're sitting down at the very end of the evening and just reading. It doesn't even have to take 5 minutes. They just like to read. And last out of this number three, my kids are doing better when we're praying. Now, I want you guys to understand, some of you guys, if y'all have listened to this show at any length of time, you know that here at the Homestead de Gibson, we follow the tenets of the God of the Christian Bible. However, that is not a prerequisite or a requisite to come and listen to this show. We don't push that. We believe it. We'll explain why we believe that. We even have to address some things like spare the rod, spoil the child through the religious context here and why we believe what we believe here. But you don't have to believe those belief systems. We've got agnostics. We've had atheists. All sorts of folks that listen to the show. And that's okay. This is a safe place. This here is about creating, you know, taking our parenting to the next level, not taking us to a spiritual level on that. Although you can't disconnect that from our belief systems here at the Homestead de Gibson, you can, and that's fine. You can still extrapolate what you can use. But I find that when I'm praying in the evenings with the kids, that they do so well with that. And we have a prayer that we go through that's kind of a created by me prayer. But I find that the more that I'm doing that, the more we set that up. You can probably bump that into number two on this one for routine. Because it's kind of become a routine, it's a big deal. But anyway, that's some of the things that I've noticed, especially with my kids, is that they do better when these things are happening. One of my next lessons, and number four, is I've found that there is an inherent power in the calm and, let's call it, consistent application of what I'm going to call the Spanish pause and quiet discussion. Now, some of you guys, I desperately searched for a video clip of a movie that came out years and years and years ago called Going South, and just a wonderful and a fantastic video, but there's one particular part. The storyline is that this guy gets arrested, and in the town that he gets arrested in, they typically get hung, but they can have their life saved if one of the you know, widowed or unmarried women want to claim them as their husband. They can stave off the death sentence, but they kind of belong to the woman who saves them. And this one particular, you know, Jack Nicholson, and he gets saved by this one particular lady and taken home. But he's doing some of this manual labor for him, and he talks about, you know, I'm going to take myself a Spanish pause. And that's always been kind of funny, and it was kind of like his what he was saying was, we're going to take I want to take a little Spanish pause. And he talks about it being the key to pacing himself. And so anyway, we use that here at the Homestead de Gibson, because right now especially, you know, if you're unfamiliar with Family Podcast Network, we've rejected spanking here at, you know, with what we do and the way we do it. You know, we don't do that because of a judgmentalism or anything like that. We do it because we believe there are better ways than spanking that we use. And we found that to be tremendously successful. As a matter of fact, we've been more successful not spanking than we ever were whooping a tar out of them before. We've been way more successful this way. So, you know, we've rejected that. And so one of the things that when you get into the minimum standards for the state of Texas in terms of foster to adopt, you're not even allowed to spank. So it worked out great for us. Yeah, but you're not even allowed to spank, and so we've been practicing for years some alternatives to that, and one of those is the Spanish pause. Now, this is not a timeout. Most people use timeout in a disciplinary a punishment fashion to say, you screwed up, you did these things, you knew you weren't supposed to do them, so now I'm going to create an uncomfortable circumstance by taking you into another room. We're going to stick your nose in a corner or whatever else, and you're going to sit there and hate it. Okay. The Spanish pause is more about teaching our kids to pace themselves, like Mr. Moon said in Going South. And so one of the purposes of this is to help kids bring it down a little bit. Now, this kiddo that we have who's staying with us now is very high energy right now. And it's just goes ballistic. And sometimes it's so intense that things are going on. And so, like, you know, like today, Charlotte, the one-year-old, she just turned two. But she just turned two this week. But the two-year-old now, she would walk up to the two-year-old and sit there, and she would, you know, kind of start antagonizing the two-year-old by not letting her have what was in her hand, which is fine. We don't let baby take stuff out of hands just because she thinks it looks cool. But, like, this little kiddo would get up in the two-year-old's face and just be like, bah! Right in her face like that. So that's kind of mean-spirited, and we know that. We're not going to let that fly. And so we have a Spanish pause. We pull her out of the room. You know, sweetie, you need to come here. Comes over. Take a seat right here. They take a seat. Now, we never leave the room. Always right there with us. We continue to work while we bring things down a little bit emotionally, and then we sit down and we say, okay, tell me why it's not okay to do that. Because it was mean, or whatever the answer is going to be. And then we discuss, okay, what do we need to do different in this case? Oh, I need to be nice. You need to be kind. Yeah, that's good. How can you be kind? You know, by patting her on the head or whatever. Whatever she comes up, you know, whatever, you know, these kiddos come up with is fine to us, right? So anyway, we call that our Spanish pause. And what I have found is that I forget how powerful it is when you calmly and consistently apply the Spanish pause in quiet discussion. So you sit them down. You have them take a break from the situation. You have them bring things down, and you sit down with them, and you talk it out with them. We talk about, what did you do that's not okay? What do I need you to do differently? And then have them repeat it back. Make sure they understand it. Repeat it back several times until they get it exactly right if you need to. But be quiet. Be calm. Don't shout. Don't yell. Don't get overly aggravated or frustrated. It's amazing how powerful these things are whenever we can consistently Spanish pause them and then quietly discuss it. Number five, it is vital to ask what has a kid acting in a certain way rather than assume it's behavioral. One of the things that I've noticed with this little kiddo is that when they are... We had an issue that anytime we went somewhere new, when there was a new person, we went over to Meemaw's house, or whenever we went to church, this little kiddo would go into this little ballistic bonkers, begins to shake the head. I've mentioned this on some of the other shows, but just kind of this little blah, 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 you know, just shaking their head, going bonker nuts. And my first initial reaction was to treat it behavioral. I began to assume that this was some kind of bad behavior that we need to address, we need to squash this and reteach, you know, the new way to do this. But I learned that it is vital, not just with this kiddo, we're talking all of my kiddos, to ask myself, what has them acting this way? Another thing that happened in the last 2 months is that one of my little kiddos has just been a little royal rotten butt turd. I don't know what else to call her right now. I'm talking about Charlotte, the one just became a two-year-old. She has been so special. Oh, well, Trey, she's just in her twos. The whole mentality of terrible twos, for the most part, is a load of crap to me. All of my kids have gone through twos, and I regretted none of it with any of them. I didn't get frustrated. I didn't find them just being holy little little terrors and whatnot and all that kind of stuff. So I reject that for the most part. Now, Charlotte has redefined my ability to think that in terms of two-year-olds because she has been so special. However, she was abnormally strange and getting into everything and having just crying and squealing and screaming and fussing. And I reminded myself, you know, Trey, stop focusing and assuming this is purely behavioral. And let's start asking myself, what's going on? As a matter of fact, Jeff, the guy who co-hosts with me at the Real Family Guys podcast on Friday, has a fantastic saying. He always says, every single thing that a person does, every single behavior is trying to communicate something. And this whole process has reminded me of that. So we finally took Charlotte, and sure enough, she had double ear infections in both ears. I mean, man, I tell you, I curl up into a fetal position when I have earaches. Man, I do not do well with earaches. And so this kiddo had double. She had doble, man, one in each flipping ear. That is horrible. But I've had the same thing happening, too, with this new kiddo. And so this little kid I was talking about with the blah, 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 you know, the oh, wait, I got a clip for you here.
Blah, 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 blah
So, well, I mean, that particular rendition is fairly maybe a little dramatized. That's kind of what it's been like. And I'm not trying to be hurtful with this in the slightest. But when I first saw this, I was seeing this as very behavioral. I thought, oh, this is like some bad habits that we've picked up on, and we need to address this like behaviors. But something didn't feel right about that. And I before I started addressing it, I really sat back and I took a look at that, and I began to realize. I said, this isn't behavioral at all. And what I began to recognize is that I only was seeing it in terms of patterns. I was only seeing it in new places. Places that this kiddo had not been. This place that with people that this kiddo had not met. And every time, and I began to connect it. This was anxiety. This was fear. This was concern, worry, nervousness, whatever you want to call it. This was not behavioral. So the last 2 months has taught me how vital it is to ask what has a kid acting a certain way rather than assuming that it must be a bad habit. That has been so valuable on so many levels. Number 6, I have learned that a bigger house is way easier to keep clean. You say, Trey, I don't even know what's the point of this. I am telling you, since we have moved into our bigger house, we have been happier. Now, I just love this house. Outside of the fact that it's so big, comparatively, it is the perfect house for us. It is so wonderful. We absolutely love this place. I spent most of this weekend has been just under a heavy rain. And I tell you, we've been loving it. Man, I have not left this house today without mud boots on at some point just because there has been so much rain, and I am absolutely digging it. And but outside of that, this bigger house has been fantastic, and it's amazing that when you have more space. You know, my wife and I were talking about this the other day, that at the other house, it was 800-square-foot house. You know, if the house got cluttered, if things came out in the house and they got cluttered, then you would have no space left over to walk, and you were literally stepping on or over things to get somewhere, and you were bumping into things. Here, that same amount of stuff can get spread out, you know, over the house, same amount of stuff, and there is still more room. There's more room to put things, and even when those things are out in the middle of the floor or wherever else, there's more space to get around without bumping into stuff or without stepping on stuff, and that is a phenomenal experience, and I'm telling you, it makes us happier as a family, because mom and dad are less concerned and worried and freaked out about the house or bumping into stuff or stepping on crap. And there's more of a laid-back, relaxed house. For those that are wondering, we've got a little over 1,600-square-foot house now. We literally have almost two of what we had before, and it is phenomenal. Next, number 7, I have discovered that the giant chalkboard equals epic win. Yes, even though we still have kiddos that run in and grab the erasers and think it's fun to smack them in their hand and get board dust everywhere, even though we can be sitting there, you know, working out, you know, simple or complex algebra equations and somebody comes along and erases them and frustrates you and all that other good stuff, this chalkboard has been so fantastic. It has been so wonderful to be talking about a concept. Just today, you know, we've had lots of rain coming through, and so we were talking about percent chances. And we had said there was a 60% chance, and Anna said, oh, good, it's going to rain then. And so I was able to say, no, sweetie, it's not, but let's go talk about it. And we walked over to the board, and we were able to use visuals to help conceptualize percentages and whatnot. And I was able to draw pictures, and I was able to draw a little graph to explain, you know, how percents work, and it was absolutely wonderful. This chalkboard has been great. Whether it's teaching kids something in math or them just making pictures of megalodons in their, you know, handprint pictures and whatnot, or even doing get the chalk powder on your hand and leave little handprints on it. It has just been phenomenal. The kids have loved it. We've used it to remind ourselves how much they, you know, we owe them for chores that they do extra for us and stuff like that. And it just, I tell you, if you get the opportunity, paint yourself a giant chalkboard with chalkboard paint. We talk about that in the gear episode that we did a while back. Love that stuff. Get you some. If you got a wall that you can do it on, frame it out. And let me tell you, it's been one of the best things we have done. Epic win. I give all credit to the chalkboard idea to my wife. That was brilliant on her part. Number 7, I have learned over the last 2 months and everything that we have done here that there is a value of letting all the kids climb underneath the truck and help daddy fix it. We just recently moved ourselves into a farm slash work truck because we need it out here a lot more than we've ever needed it before. Anyway, I was installing a tow bar to the bottom of it, to the frame, and the kids had come over to me and they were like, Dad, can we help? And I was just real reticent. And I was like, I don't know if I, blah, blah, blah. But I said, you know what? What does it matter? Come on, kids. And I had all of my kids underneath the truck with me, helping me install this thing. And it was so much fun. And we had such a good time and we laughed and we smiled and we cracked up and they genuinely helped me get things done. And we talked about what certain things are and why we were attaching it to the frame and not just using the ball pull, the ball hitch and whatnot, the bumper pull, excuse me. And it was just a wonderful experience. And it was a reminder that it's fun sometimes just to let the kids come and help and whatnot. And it's interesting that as I taught them, they became very proficient. And they knew what wrenches were, and it became a little educational experience. Even though, like I said, I was so reticent to let them underneath there, and I was resistant to that idea. It was one of the best decisions that I've made. So, there was a reminding to it. Number eight, well, you've learned over the last 2 months that handsy babies are wonderful, even if you want to punch them in the face. I was telling y'all about Charlotte and how she's given us a run for our money. She is very smart. And she is very much a problem solver, and she is very much solves problems and likes to get out of the things that we put her in. So we create a safe room for her that we don't have to fuss at her, and we put her in there. And she'll build small walls and catapults and all sorts of stuff to launch her over this gate. I'm sure she does catapults, and she gets out of these rooms that we make that are safe for her. And we have gotten so frustrated with her because she gets into stuff and she pulls a whole table of, whole tray of muffins off the table, or she finds a banana randomly in there and smushes it out everywhere, or she pulls the whole thing of basket of chalk down and dumps chalk everywhere, and just lots of little situations like that. We were getting real frustrated with that. And there was a show that had come on the other day, or maybe it was an article that I had seen on like attachment parenting Facebook page. But one of the things it said was, don't disparage over your children if they're exploring. He said that exploration is where they learn. And that was kind of a major conviction for me because my frustration level has been so high. But I needed to readjust my thoughts and perspectives on that and stop seeing that as such a denigrating thing, as a negative thing, and start recognizing it for what it is. And that's that she is experimenting with the world around her. I don't like it when she does it in my thing of breakfast muffins, for the family. But the reality is, it's the sign of a mind that is active. It is the sign of a mind that is thinking, that is processing, that is wanting to feel, to taste, to touch, to experience. And I cannot get mad. No, I can. But I choose not to let myself get angry with my daughter for doing the very thing that if she wasn't doing would be a scary, scary thing. Let's see. Number nine. Maybe it's 10. I can't remember. Dishwashers, so like the actual physical mechanical dishwashers complete me. I have always been kind of our primary dishwasher in the house. I've always taken that role. So this is our first house we've ever had that had a dishwasher installed in it. We got that sucker. Let me tell you, I love this thing. Because I'm very big about, I pre-rinse everything because I don't like to mix the soap on my sponge with chunks of food. I don't like that. So I was always a rinser. So I would rinse everything, get a pre-rinse done, and then I would wash the things and I would put them in the drying rack. And so now all I got to do is just pre-rinse. All I got to do is, especially if you can stay on top of it, everybody gets done, sit down, spray everything off, put it right next to the dishwasher, then it is load and run it. And I love that. So dishwashers have completely completed me. It has created so much less frustration and irritation. There's so much more time that I'm spending now with the kids that I'm not spending pre-rinsing and washing and then drying. It is absolutely wonderful. So I've always kind of been, reluctant to say I like dishwashers because in the past they weren't very effective pieces of machinery. But the one that we've got now with the double rack, with the double sprayer on both racks, man, they've got these things down to a fine art. So I love these things now. Last one, I always knew when I was growing up, I always knew that I was going to raise more than just my kids. I remember that I worked for a gentleman named Brett Martin years ago, and we were sitting down, and it was when I used to do landscaping for the Tarleton State University. This is one of the school that I got my undergraduate degree in, and we were part of the Toro team, and the Toro team was just basically our maintenance crew. And I remember him talking about his daughter, and he was mentioned that he had a couple other people over, and I was like, "Oh, are those your kids or something?" He's like, "No, they're not my kids." And I said, "You know, you talk about them being at your house all the time." And he made a comment that has stuck with me through the years. He said, "You know, Trey, I realized that we're going to wind up raising way more kids than just our biological kids." And he said, "I've always got somebody over, whether it's one of my kids' boyfriends or whether it is a friend from, you know, one of the kids from the youth group. I always have people over at my house." I said, "That's the way I want it." Something about that resonated with me. Long before, I mean, this was whenever my wife and I were married, but we had just gotten married. We weren't even pregnant with Anna yet. But something about that resonated deeply with me. And I thought to myself, that's what I'm interested in. I thought to myself, I want to be the guy who raises more kids than just my own. I want to be that place where kids feel comfortable coming over. I want my kids' friends to feel comfortable coming over to the homestead to Gibson and spending time here. And we've seen that throughout the years as we've gone, and the kids as they make friends and how their friends want to come over, and we love that. But you know, it's very neat now to see that we're here. And now the neighbors have made friends with our kids, and they come over and they spend a lot of time here now. And I love that. You know, there's not trying to push the religious piece here, but there's a scripture that I've always loved that talks about, you know, the tree that has many branches. And it says that the branches provide shade for multiple birds to roost there. And that sounds kind of silly, but you know, there's an element to that. I want to have the place, the household, not just a house, but the household, the home, where people are comfortable and they feel safe and they want to come and they want to roost there. They want to stay there and feel and be safe. And we've always desired for that. And it's neat to see that we are creating that place where people feel comfortable that aren't even our kids feel comfortable coming and being there and a part of this environment. And so it's been neat over the last 2 months. I've gotten to see that with this new kiddo who's now our daughter, and as she has just grown to feel so comfortable in this home that she's in, and to see these little friends as they come over to spend time with the kids and how comfortable they are being here. I've always, always, always desired to have the tree that the birds want to come rest in, metaphorically speaking, mind you. We're finally getting to see that, and it is something that is so powerful and so wonderful. All right, guys, that's all that we have for this episode of the Hear Me Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. We hope that you've enjoyed your Memorial Day holiday. Hopefully you spent some time. Maybe there was some barbecuing, maybe there was some good times, but I also hope that you sit back and reflect on the folks who have paid ultimate prices for us in many cases to help us hold on to the freedom that we have. Guys, if nothing else, we hope to see you this Wednesday for our next episode of the Family Podcast Network, as well as this Friday as Jeff and I get together for another episode of the Real Family Guys podcast. Come and join us. Have a great day. Have a great week. And we'll see you guys on Wednesday.